You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today. Happy Monday to all of you. Thanks for joining us here. You're tuning into WGOD. God is always broadcasting. Let's tune into his frequency here today. This radio program, WGOD, is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. I want to thank my associate pastor, Darren Solana, for that last sermon, which you guys heard here on Thursday and Friday. We're going through the book of Revelation here on the radio, and we're going through the book of Acts here at the church, verse by verse, on Sunday mornings. That's where we were, where we're normally at. Yesterday, I preached the sermon, The Doctrine of Christ, and you'll hear that here coming up on the radio Wednesday and Thursday of this week. But we were in Revelation chapter 8 last week. We're in chapter 9 here today and tomorrow. I've entitled this sermon, Angel Hair, like angel hair pasta. What a horrendous scene we're going to see here today as this bottomless pit is open and these horrible demons are let out of the pit and they're going to Well, I won't say any more. Let's see where the word takes us here today. For more on this radio show and this ministry, islandcommunitychurch.net is the website and what we believe about Jesus, because there's nothing more important than that. And that's what my sermon was yesterday, The Doctrine of Christ. What do we believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Because John says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. We looked yesterday at what that means. What makes up the doctrine of Christ and the dire warnings of not believing? Like, for instance, you don't believe in the virgin birth, or you don't believe he's the Son of God, or you don't believe he's coming back again, or you don't believe that he died. The dangers of not believing those things, that's where we were at. You'll hear that again on the radio coming up. Here now, matter of fact, I'll let this opening play on Tuesday as well, so either Monday or Tuesday. Let's get into the word now. We're in Revelation chapter 9. Angel hair, the angel of this bottomless pit, has come down to earth with a key. Okay, now we're in the ninth chapter of the book of Revelation here today. I want to thank my associate pastor, Darren, for last week's sermon, which was brilliant in its own right and came about through diligent study. Now, I've read this book for nigh on 30 years, and I've never really come to an acceptable conclusion for why there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. If you missed that sermon, I encourage you, watch the video on our YouTube channel. And that silence concerns worship. So you see, since, as I said at the end of his sermon last week, you'll find the end of the age after chapters 1, 3, 6, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 18, and 19, that perhaps as many times will a person find the Lord Jesus standing up from his throne and doing what he promised he was going to do prior to the end of the age. We read in John chapter 14, verse 2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." We're waiting on that promise that hasn't happened yet. Matter of fact, we need to pray before we go any further. Lord, we praise you in the house. This is your house.
Lord, we pray for those that have the gift of faith and maybe don't even realize it yet. We pray you'd use your word to light the dynamite in everyone here. Those that don't even realize that they're Christians, maybe they've been waiting to hear. We pray you do a great work, not only in us, but in those that are going to hear on the radio, those that are watching on Facebook, those that are going to watch on YouTube. Lord, we pray that the choices you offer us would be plain and evident, loud and clear, to choose this day whom we will serve. Speak to us through your word. And now more than ever, help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers either, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. So I read John 14, 2. This too, Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. This is after these things. I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. Because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Remember, we've been looking at them every week. Everyone that's surrounding God's bodyguards and everyone else that's surrounding his throne. So the 24 elders and the four living creatures, they fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen and hallelujah. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Verse 9, Revelation 19, 9. Then he said to me, write this down, John. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, these are for all believers. They are already in heaven before the second coming. So my point is, at some point somewhere, the Lord Jesus has already fulfilled what he promised you. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, it said, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. And thus you are not a part of these rapid fire judgments that are coming upon all of the God haters out here in the world. And all of the unbelievers. And Lord willing, you won't be part of what we are now about to see here today. We're in Revelation chapter 9, starting at the top. Okay. Verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded. All right, this is the fifth trumpet. The fifth angel is about to sound his trumpet. This is the fifth trumpet. And I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. You know, that's funny. The Lord Jesus said exactly the same thing. If you have a good Bible, you'll notice right there for chapter 9, verse 1, a little footnote that refers you to Luke chapter 10, verse 18. In that verse, the Lord Jesus says, Behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And now here, you read the same thing. That's why the translators want you to know, maybe we're talking about the same thing here. I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him, all right, check that out. To him, that is, this is a person this time, or better yet, an evil angel, as opposed to Ursa Major or Orion, hence the word him. This is a masculine personal pronoun. Him, Not it, and not her. It's not a star. To him was given a key. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Literally in Greek, this would be, he was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. Like a sewer. And here comes someone that's going to now take the manhole cover off this sewer. And here's a place, by the way, that you don't want to go and visit. Neither do you want to have a timeshare in this place. Talk about having uncouth neighbors, right? No Chevys up on blocks here on the front lawn of this neighborhood. And the Bible tells you these things as well, so that you don't hang your hat down there in the bottomless pit with a never-ending lease. It just renews year after year after year. Now, this note from my Bible knowledge commentary. It says, the star, having fallen from heaven, may be an angel or fallen angel or even Satan himself. He has the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit, Greek word abusos. This is the dwelling place of demons. When he opened the entrance to the abyss, billows of smoke poured forth as if from a huge furnace, veiling the landscape in darkness. All right, now verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke from the pit. Then, as out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. So that would be Jews. But the Bible explicitly calls them 144,000 Jewish men. So they're instructed, only harm the unbelievers and the God-haters out here in the world. That's their instruction. Verse 5. And they were not given authority to kill men, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, yet death will flee from them. My Bible translation reads, death will elude them. Reminds me of one of my favorite horror movies as a kid, Lon Chaney Jr., in the movie The Indestructible Man. Here it is here. The Bible says, speaking of all the God-haters out here during this time, that men will seek death and they will not find it. They will desire to die, but death will flee from them. Suicide, you know, is so stylish amongst progressives and liberals. Have you noticed that? Just live a godless, selfish life. Then when you've had your fill of sin, you just call up old Dr. Kevorkian, have him put you to sleep like an old dog. That's not going to work anymore. In the tribulation, that'll no longer work. In the tribulation, all the former rules are no longer in effect. In the tribulation, there's no turning back from accepting the government's new health plan. And the plan for how to live your life and to protect your family. Verse 6, in those days, men will seek death and they will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. So now I'm calling this sermon angel hair pasta. Hey, that's all we can do is lighten this up. This is the most horrendous chapter in all the Bible. Angel's hair. Since these locust things appear to be demons or evil angels released from the pit. You know what? I'd rather have a boiling plate of steamed broccoli than any of this angel hair pasta. I'll pass on this pasta. Thank you very much. So these demons torment all the God haters out here in the world whose grace has run out. There's coming a time in this world when God's extension of grace to all of us is going to run out. And we're seeing that now here. Verse 9, they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. How long? And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is... Hey, look at that. He's even going to tell you who this is. Whose name is Abaddon. But in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. All right, so I looked up these two words in Hebrew and Greek. Find out what they mean. Abaddon, the Hebrew word, means destruction. It's also the abode of unbelievers following death. That is, if you die and leave this world without Jesus, this is where you go. Abaddon. The word Apollyon means to destroy. It also is a name given to, well, as we just see here, the demon of the bottomless pit. Yikes. Who wants to live in this place? They have his king over them. Yeah, this reminds me of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27. I think it's listed up there. Proverbs 30, 27 says this. It says, the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. But these have a king. So they are not locusts, or at least ordinary locusts. Satan is their king. Verse 12, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these. So, look, this is intended to scare you. That's the purpose. That's why you read this. This is intended to scare you. That's why we read in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child, that would be you and me, train up in the child in the way he should go. So that when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is, learn this at a young age. You don't want this. This is not a place that you want to go. It's your choice. You decide your future. As long as your heart's still beating, as long as it's still today, you decide your destiny. This is designed to scare you. That's why it's in the Bible. You don't want to go to this place. Imagine living here. One woe is past. Behold, there's still two more woes coming after this. Verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the kraken. Oh, wait. Sorry. It might as well be kraken. Pick your poison. Which one do you want? Do you want these four cats after you, or do you want the kraken? All I know is that don't hire a boat captain to take you out on the Euphrates River for a little speckled trout. I advise you, go fishing somewhere else. Hire Captain Jim if you want to go fishing. But don't go to the Euphrates River, because all you know what's about to break loose. Again, verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, that's the sixth trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel that had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Boy, talk about sovereignty of God. Look who's large and in charge. God didn't respond to all the evil in the world. It was just time for this. Matter of fact, better yet, the world was out of time. The world was out of time. God says, remember, all day long I've stretched out my arms. And the invitation still stands today. That's why we read in the Bible today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like the Jews did in the wilderness where they tested me for 40 years. This time was already marked out in advance from eternity past. Here's that verse again. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Notice it says they were prepared. Etoimazo is the Greek word. Things you prepare. You prepare a meal. They prepared the Passover. The Lord said he was going to prepare a place for us. Or John the Baptist prepared a people for the Lord. To Jonah the prophet, God prepared a whale. He prepared a gourd. He prepared a worm. He prepared an east wind. Here, the Almighty God is preparing and has prepared four angels. Bound in the Euphrates River. I think they're evil angels. I wonder if this is perhaps a punishment for some of the angels who sinned and followed Satan in his fall. The Apostle Peter wrote this. He said, God did not spare the angels who sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now, perhaps this is some of that. Maybe these angels are just malignant spirits that have been sent here and have been bound all of these years waiting for God to give the call. And this trumpet announces that. Verse 16. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And he says, I heard the number of them. Now, I believe that this is as it says, men, not angel hair demons. Okay? 200 million men on horseback, perhaps, unless, of course, a horse here is a symbol for some kind of traveling vehicle he didn't understand. Maybe they were Hummers. I don't know. He saw something perhaps he didn't understand. They were traveling. He called them horsemen. He didn't understand it. But the number is so important that someone had to tell John what the number is. Did you catch that? He said, I heard the number. Someone had to tell him the number because the number was important back then. I read this week as I was studying for this, the entire world's population in 100 AD was around 150 million people. I also learned in college that this verse right here, along with chapter 11, which we're going to get to probably next week, that this verse right here was the greatest atheist proof text in all of the Bible. That the Bible was not inspired and could not be trusted, and that the Bible had errors and lies in it. You see, the world didn't even have 200 million people. How could 200 million people cross over this river? There's not even that many people in the world. And John says, I heard the number of them, so I put it to you. God did this deliberate act to ward off all unbelievers and call all those people that don't have faith to fall away. Because that's what he does. You don't even need faith to believe that today. You don't need faith to believe that. That there's going to be 200 million people that are going to cross over the Euphrates River where China is now, today, 2024. You don't need faith to believe that. But I'll tell you what, you got a new home down here in hell waiting on this now. Because you heard it. God said it. He said it deliberate. So that everyone that doesn't have faith. Brett, the Lord said, are you also going to turn away from me? Remember, that's John 6:6:6. Are you also going to turn away? They said, Lord, where will we go? You've got the words of eternal life. He says this deliberate so that everyone that doesn't have faith would say, hasta luego. Listen to this. They asked Jesus one day, they said, why do you speak to these people in parables? And he said to them, to you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those that are outside, all things come in parables so that I, here comes the reason, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and lest their sins be forgiven them. Mark 4:11, church, the one thing that's required of you to gain entry into the kingdom of God is faith. God's calling you to believe him at his word, regardless of if you don't understand it or not. Believe God at his word. If he says 200 million people are going to cross over this river, your call is to believe it, even if you don't see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things I don't see it, but I believe it because God said it. It's all there is. God said it, so I believe it. And he does these things deliberately to whittle away everyone out here that's not a genuine believer. Those, he goes, you people follow me because your bellies were full. Jesus will call you front and center, and he will require you to make your very own statement of faith. One day, Jesus said this to a potential follower. He says, you know what, friend? He says, you lack one thing in your life. He said, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasures in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and follow me. And there it is, or there it was, for this man. Go your way. Sell everything that you have. Give it to the Guatemalans and Mexicans that are coming through the southern border. Uh-oh. Touched a sore note there, huh? It's your choice.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
New Beginnings Funeral Home alerts listeners that 22 veterans take their lives every day. Let's uplift our veterans by assuring them that recovery is possible. If you know a veteran struggling,